Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank, having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? gasnetworks.ie/move to gas.
Right, Jonathan de Burke Butler joins us once again to bring us some stories from other parts of the world. Jonathan, good afternoon to you. Right, Brazil, we're going to first, and there's been an arrest there.
Yes, you might remember a few weeks ago we spoke about the president, Michel Temer, who's only been there for about a year. The person who came before him, Dilma Rousseff, was of course impeached, and it would appear that Temer is in quite a bit of trouble himself. Last month it was because there was audio that came out which heard him basically encouraging this executive of the biggest meatpacking company in the world to continue paying corrupt payments to another politician. And he was, as I said, he was heard encouraging that. And now it would appear that another associate, an advisor of his, a man by the name of Rodrigo Roca Lores, has been arrested, and he's been arrested on foot of footage that caught him basically running from a restaurant, or at least coming out of a restaurant in São Paulo, carrying a suitcase with about $150,000 in cash. Now, it was in the Brazilian currency, in reais or whatever it's called, but it's quite an amount of money. So this guy's been arrested, and there are now pressure on Temer.
I assume he was running out of the... Was he being pursued by the police?
No. It was just that he was coming out of the restaurant, and he was... Obviously, he was under investigation anyway to see what he was doing. And he's now been accused of being a middleman for Michel Temer and his associates. And of course, Temer has said, no, not at all. But it now means that this guy, the president, is fighting battles on three different fronts. There's a funding scandal going back to 2014, this audio that's come out, and now this video footage which has basically caught his associate carrying a suitcase which may have been money for him or may not have been. So there's calls for his resignation. Obviously he says he's not going to do that because that would be saying that he's guilty, but it would appear that impeachment proceedings have started against him.
Right, okay. And is he being investigated officially by any law enforcement
the Brazil Supreme Court authorised the investigation of both Temer and Lores for corruption. And as all of this goes on, more and more people are just running to the authorities and saying, look, I'll do a deal. Just tell me who I have to hang, and I'll do it for you. And he looks to be in trouble. The only thing is time might help him, and the fact that he's got a massive majority in both the lower house and the upper house. So in order to start impeachment proceedings, you need to get a two-thirds majority in the lower house. That's unlikely to happen at this stage, but, you know, it's all a bit of a mess.
Yeah, and but his own party and the fact that he has this massive majority is, you know, are the members of these two houses of government, do they look at him and think he buttered our bread, so we're not going to say anything about this?
I would say there's quite a bit of that, but you've got to bear in mind that in the lower house there are 17 different parties in the government. So even though they have twice as many as the opposition, there was a party, the Brazilian Socialists, who were part of the government, and they said, I think we've had enough of this, and they've slipped over to the opposition just a couple of weeks ago. So it could all fall apart very quickly for him. So it's hard to know what he's going to do.
Well, I suppose he's no option but sorry, no, because the next stop might be prison.
Indeed.
We're going to go to Tonga next, and a second policeman has been arrested over an armed robbery.
Yeah, this is bizarre. It's a very short story. There's not too much to it, really, in as much as that it's a headline in itself. Our robbery took place last month in a shop in an area called Maufanga. That's it's an area of the capital. Now, Tonga is very small, 100,000 people living on the island. But corruption within the police is rife. And the last commissioner, when he left, his parting words were, violence in the force there's an epidemic of violence within the force. Obviously, in this case, what you have is that two policemen and another accomplice went in to a shop, just an ordinary shop, with guns, and they raided it. Now, I don't know if they actually got away with anything. I assume they did, but I think that's probably not the point. Two of them have been arrested, and the current commissioner, who is in fact a Kiwi from New Zealand, Stephen Caldwell, has said, okay, look, it's better that we, you know, that we've got these guys, at least it shows that nobody is above the law. So they're going to start proceedings against him, against this guy, fairly shortly.
Right. It sounds that sounds like they're making an example of these two chaps, but it's not like this kind of thing hasn't happened before or isn't happening on an ongoing basis.
The last massive scandal that they had there in Tonga, which resulted in two sort of retiring New Zealand chief commissioners being brought over to do a sort of root and branch investigation, was the death of a New Zealand policeman who was over. I think he was actually Tongan himself, but he was working for the New Zealand police and he went over to visit, I think, his uncle or something like that. And while he was there, he was murdered by two Tongan police. So it's, as the ex-commissioner said, there's quite a bit of violence and quite a bit of corruption. But in a country that's so small, it's nearly bound to happen, you know.
Yes, indeed. Right. Okay, Indonesia we're going to. Now, we have had stories from at least parts of Indonesia before on the use of...
In Banda Aceh, yeah.
Yes, in Banda Aceh. But this is an odd one.
Yes, this is in Jakarta. So,
oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, so it's a very different kettle of fish. But I think it's indicative of how things are going a little bit in Indonesia. I suppose I give a brief backstory if I can. There was an Indonesian governor of Jakarta who was ethnic Chinese and Christian. And during, there was gubernatorial elections earlier this year, but during the campaign, he made a speech in which he basically said that there was a verse in the Quran which stopped Muslims supporting Christians. And, well, to cut a long story short, there was a blasphemy case brought against him and he was put in prison last month. Now, the person who was behind getting people out to protest against this Christian governor was a man by the name of Rizik Shihab. He's a kind of firebrand cleric, would be well known in Indonesia and is the head of a group called Islamic Defenders Front. Now, this guy has actually been in prison twice before, but it appears now that authorities want him for engaging in pornography. And the pornography that he's engaged in is basically exchanging text messages of a lurid nature, shall we say, and with another campaigner, a woman by the name of Firza Hussein, who was part of his retinue, which I kind of had to look into her a bit, and that was difficult to find information on her, but she was part of his retinue, which means that she's sort of part of the same conservative, you know, mentality, let's say.
And this, so, and certainly this guy's public face, it's all against sexual promiscuity women wearing hats and
all sorts of different things. And, and as I said, very conservative, and now he's caught up in this whole thing. Now, he's currently in Saudi Arabia, or we believe he's in Saudi Arabia. So we don't know exactly how they're going to get him back into Indonesia. I do know that the woman, Firza Hussein, is proceedings are starting on her today, as far as I know. And her lawyers are basically saying, well, look, she may have posed nude, but it wasn't her that was, you know, disseminating the images. Somebody got them and put them out into the public domain.
So she's admitting she did pose nude then?
There's no way she can get out of it. It's her. And, you know, the people who are investigating this have brought in forensics and everything to see where the images photoshopped.
Yes,
and there's no doubt about it. I mean, there's rumours been going around for months and now it's undoubtedly true. But it's just, I just think it's an amazing story because it's just a classic political hypocrisy.
And yes,
it's a great story in that regard.
Plus, he's been done for blasphemy, so obviously the government in Jakarta aren't particularly keen on him anyway. One wonders whether, was there a bit of silent aid given to
indeed, this guy that he was trying to get rid of, this Christian governor Ahok, he would have been an associate of the current president, a man called Joko Widodo. So I don't know if Joko Widodo might have got behind this and maybe said, well, look, here's another charge that we can put up against this cleric. It should be said that he's wanted for other things, including blasphemy of his own. This was a case that was brought against him for saying that Christ was not the Son of God. So he was blaspheming against Christianity, which is interesting.
Right. Okay. But then again, to supporters of his, they could say he shouldn't be done for blaspheming against Christianity. Indeed. Plus, also they could say this is a state job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they're saying.
Yes. And speaking of Photoshop, this is a story involving Photoshopping stuff. This is in Senegal, though. What's happening there?
Yeah, this is, again, a simple story. It's four people have been charged over sharing a doctored photo of the Senegalese president, a man by the name of Macky Sall, who's a big deal in that neck of the woods, actually. Anytime there's anything going on in the Gambia or in that part of Africa, he always seems to be there. He bringing sides together. So he's a big cheese there in that part of the world. There are legislative elections coming up, so the timing of this is probably showing that he's quite a strong character. But anyway, I'm not actually telling you what happened, am I? to cut a long story short, his face was taken and was superimposed onto an image of a naked man. And then it was disseminated through a WhatsApp group. And it was passed on. Now, apparently somebody within the WhatsApp group actually reported the picture to police. And a woman was arrested, who was a journalist, in fact, and it said that she was the creator of the actual piece, and then other associates of her who then shared the piece have also been arrested.
Right. What actual law has she broken?
Sending offensive images, apparently. And for that, she could get, or they could get, between 1 month and 2 years in prison or a fine of about $500 or both.
Right, okay.
Now, I think it's probably an opportunity for Macky Sall to turn around and go, I'll forgive you. One of these kind of things, you know, don't worry about it. It's only a bit of fun. But that's the offence.
Right. And Senegal wouldn't be necessarily considered an autocracy, or
not really. No, it would be one of the more sort of certainly compared to its neighbour when Yaya Jammeh was there in the Gambia, it wouldn't be. Or if you go to Togo, it's fairly progressive, shall we say? Yes. Usually, so I was surprised by that. I have to say,
staying in that continent, Tanzania and Malawi have been having a row over a lake for many, many years.
Yes,
it's going to go to arbitration.
That's what they're saying. President Peter Mutharika of Malawi is saying that he wants to bring this to the International Court of Justice in The Hague. It's over Lake Malawi. Again, to cut a long story short, Malawi basically says that it owns all the lake, and Tanzania says, no, we own at least half of it. Now, Malawi both of them are actually basing their claims on treaties dating back between Germany and and Britain, from 1890. But Malawi are saying that, you know, it's been administered on the Malawi side of the shore ever since the end of the First World War, when basically Britain took over what was Tanzania, or what became Tanzania later on. So they're saying there that, you know, we have continuity, so that it's ours. Now, the question that you normally put to me in this context is there oil in them there hills? And I'm going to answer that for you. Yes, that's what they're looking for. That's really why the dispute has kind of upscaled a little bit. They've been looking for oil there since about 2012, and Tanzania say, well, look, we want a share of that, and Malawi are saying no.
Right.
So that's
oil in a lake. I don't think I've ever heard of that before, but I'm sure it is.
Well, maybe it could be. It should be exploration.
Yeah.
So it might not be oil, but there's exploration of some
going
sort.
Going on. Yeah. But obviously it's worth something to somebody.
Yeah, indeed.
No doubt about it. Right, Zimbabwe we're going to next. Now, this is a story involving Mugabe's wife, or Robert Mugabe's wife.
Yes, this is Grace Mugabe, who looks after the women's side of his particular party, of course, and would be a big figure in Zimbabwe. And they tend to go out and go to these rallies and make speeches, as you know. And she's saying that she doesn't want NGOs to come into the country anymore, and she wants them all to get out. Her reasoning for this is that they're expecting a bumper harvest this year in Zimbabwe, and that they don't need the help of the NGOs. And she said that any time NGOs come into the country, they tend to interfere with the politics of the country, which, of course, she would put to her followers as being, you know, disrupting democracy. But I suppose to the rest of us, they're kind of getting in the way of what Mugabe and his clan want to do. Anyway, it's interesting because last year the Mugabes called on the international community when there was a drought in Zimbabwe to come in and help them. And now that it doesn't suit them, they want to get rid of them. So it seems that they're doing what they've done for decades, which is basically talking to different audiences in different ways.
But given that the more than a decade where it's been perilously poor, there's been huge inflation and all the rest of it, you can't think because they're going to have one good harvest that everything's going to be sorted and they won't need NGOs just to feed people.
And when you that's a great point. And when you bear in mind that there was another story that I saw there, which I think is indicative of the poverty, that there was a woman, and this is quite gruesome, just to warn you, there was a woman who was just charged and sentenced to 23 months of community service for burying her newborn child, because, and the defence that she gave was she couldn't afford to feed the child. I think that probably answers your question.
Yeah, that is grim. Right, Malta, we're going to go to now back in Europe. And the Prime Minister there has just won a snap election.
Yeah, this is Prime Minister Joseph Muscat, I think is how you pronounce his name. He's 43-year-old and he's been there since 2015. There's been a bit of controversy around him and his wife, Michelle. When the Panama Papers came out, was it early 2016, I think, at this stage? Mm. It was discovered that she had a shell company and she used it for banking unexplained payments from Azerbaijan's ruling family. Now, where this goes, God only knows. But anyway, that was one part of it. Then there was a discovery that his chief of staff had admitted having his own previously undeclared Panama registered company, and that also he was accepting bribes for the sale of Maltese passports to wealthy Russians. so there was a whole plethora of scandals going on. So rather cleverly, or maybe cynically, depending on how you look at it, Muscat decides, well, if all of these scandals are coming out, we'll put it to the people, see what they think. And he's come back and he's won 55% of the vote. There was a 92% turnout, which is phenomenal.
Wow, that is phenomenal.
And he came out and he won 55% of the vote. So he's obviously saying that the people are on his side. Undoubtedly, it's not going to stop these investigations. I should say these scandals. They're not investigations yet, I don't think, from surfacing. But we'll see how he gets on.
And during the course of the election campaign, was it, as I understand it, they were kind of made the Russians the baddie in the story.
That's right. There is... There's a sort of a diplomatic spat going on between the two of them. So there's two sides to that. One is that I think they accused the Russians of hacking into their computer systems, public computer systems. And there was another part of it where I think Muscat, who I should say is head of the Labour Party there, I don't know if that will help to inform the next bit, but anyway, was refusing to allow Russian airplanes to refuel in Malta before they went on to Syria and to bomb in Syria. I think he was trying to deflect attention away from, you know, his own government's involvement with the Russians.
Yeah. Finally, it's an interesting one. Lithuania is going to raise the drinking age.
It is, yes. It's raising it to 20 as of 2018. Now, this went to their parliament, and it was an amendment to a law on alcohol control, and it was supported by 101 MPs. Excuse me. There was 10 votes against it and 10 abstentions. You could make lots of jokes about the 10 abstentions, but anyway. So there was unanimous support for this, and it's not the only thing. So they're as I said, they're bringing up the legal drinking age to 20. They're going to stop alcohol consumption at sport events. The other thing is they're shortening the period of time in which alcohol can be sold. So they're bringing in all sorts of measures, and all of those will be brought in by 2020. But I was looking at the statistics, and whatever source you get it from, because these statistics on alcohol they can be quite different. In fact, one said that they drink 18.2 litres per person, every person over 15, and another source said it was 15.4 litres. Mm-hmm. Now, if you compare that to Ireland, we're about 11 litres. So
Crikey,
four litres
yeah.
more. So that'll show you how bad it is. So they this is the way they feel they need to tackle it.
Right. Okay. So what things should we look out for during the next week or so?
I think that there's two things really to look out for. Obviously, the big thing is the elections in the UK on the 8th and on the same day. And this might well eclipse it in some ways. James Comey is going to testify in front of the Senate Intelligence Committee. That's going to be very, very interesting.
Right. That is. Yeah. And the results. So I was just shocked that there might be use of executive powers to block his testimony, but that's not going to happen now.
I didn't see that. Okay.
It has been rumoured, but it would look very bad if he did block it. So we don't know what he's going to say. Jonathan, that's it. Thanks very much for coming into us today.
Moncrief with Gas Networks Ireland. Aren't you tired of that ugly fuel storage tank? Having to order and write that big check for the delivery guy? GasNetworks.ie/movetogas.